I'd like to invite you to turn with me to the book of Job, please, Job chapter 42. If you have a Bible, Job chapter 42. Job chapter 42 this morning, I'd like us to read verses 1 to 6. Job chapter 40. If you don't have a Bible and you'd like a Bible, just raise your hand. We'd be happy to loan you one, but we'd like for you to have one. Okay, we're all taken care of. Great. Job chapter 42, please. Verses 1 to 6 reads, "Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything, and that no thought can be withholden from thee. Who is he that hideth counsel without knowledge? Therefore have I uttered that I understood not, things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. Here I beseech thee, and I will speak. I will demand of thee, and declare thou unto me. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now mine eye seeth thee. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes." Let's bow for prayer. Heavenly Father, we ask and pray now that your Holy Spirit would lead us into truth, that would give us understanding this morning, that we might learn from you and be changed into your glorious image. In the name of Jesus Christ, we do pray. Amen. It is believed that the book of Job dates back to the days of the patriarch Abraham, Isaac, around that time. That's why some believe that the book of Job is the oldest book in the Bible. And within this book, there are some main themes. Chapter 1 and 2 of the book of Job, God allows Satan to persecute a righteous man by the name of Job, who feared God. And as a result, the man Job, lost his wealth, lost his health, and lost his children, and was left with a nagging wife who said, "Curse God and die." That's the emphasis of chapters 1 and 2. In chapter 3 of the book of Job, we have Job's despair. He just cries out in despair. And that's the focus of the third chapter. And then from chapters 4 all the way to chapter 37, Job is addressed by a group of men that were called friends of Job. And they were far from it. In fact, Job is counseled by his so-called friends to basically confess your sin, Job. And these men were adamant that Job is experiencing all of this pain and heartache simply because he has sinned in some form. And these men barrage Job with that fact and basically put pressure on Job to confess sin. Meanwhile, Job responds each time by claiming innocence. And he tells these men in one way or another, at times very sarcastically, at other times very pointedly, in fact, he called them miserable comforters. And Job basically stood in his corner and said, "I have not done anything wrong. I'm telling you, I've done nothing wrong." But his friends fight back by saying, "Yes, you have. You must have done something wrong. Look at you. You're full of boils. You've lost all your wealth. God's taking away your children. You must have sinned. That's why God's judging you. And Job responds to that time and time again. I've done nothing wrong. Well, as you can imagine, from chapters 4 to chapter 37, you've got this dialogue taking place. Very full and heated dialogue taking place between Job and his so-called friends. And we get to chapter 38 and God intervenes. And God has to intervene because there is no conclusion. Job doesn't back down. He's still crying out in his little corner, I've done nothing wrong. And his friends, on the other hand, are still saying, you've sinned. Come on, you've sinned. Confess it, you've sinned. Come on. So it's a stalemate. In chapter 38, God intervenes. God speaks. Because these men just can't work it out. So from chapter 38, God speaks. And in chapter 38, verse number 1, the Bible reads, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind. So God audibly, it would seem, spoke to Job. And he brings a conclusion to this whole situation. And God, interestingly enough, points Job to his creation. And from chapters 38, 39, 40, 41, and the conclusion in chapter 42, God speaks to Job on this subject of creation. We read this morning, thank you for the Bible reading, Brother Thomas. Wonderful. Romans chapter 1, verse 20. That the invisible things of God are clearly seen by the things that are made. Creation is God's voice piece of His existence. It is God crying out to you and I exist, I am God, and I want to have a relationship with you. In Psalm 19, verses 1 and 2, the Bible reads, the heavens declare the glory of God, and the firmament showeth his handiwork. Day unto day utteth speech, and night unto night showeth knowledge. So God points Job to creation, from chapter 38, verse number 1. And he begins to outlay and address some of what he has created. Because creation reveals God. This is God's voice piece. As we read earlier on in Romans chapter 1 verse number 20. And creation also reveals to us what God is like. Now, as we move into chapter 40, verse number 15, as God continues his creation theme, he mentions a creature there in chapter 40, verse number 15, called Behemoth. This word Behemoth is only found this once time in the Bible. The word Behemoth means a mute or quiet beast. That's what it means. And God said to Job, behold. Or, in other words, look. John the Baptist, when the Lord Jesus was approaching the River Jordan, said, behold, the Lamb of God that taketh away the sin of the world. John 1:29. So, God said to Job, look. Look at Behemoth. Look at this quiet, placid beast. Now, look at verse number 15. The Bible teaches us, Behemoth, God said to Job, which I made with thee. So this Behemoth that God created, that God said that I have created to Job, said, I made Behemoth on the same day that I created mankind. And that was day number 6, according to Genesis chapter 1. On day 6, God created all land animals, and on day 6, God created mankind. And here we are today. And God said to Job, behold, Behemoth. Take a moment and look at Behemoth. Then he goes on, he describes Behemoth. He tells us in verse number 15, this animal eats plants. It doesn't eat flesh and blood as such. It's a plant-eating beast. And also in verse number 16, the Bible teaches us that Behemoth has strong loins. Verse number 16, Behemoth, his force is in the navel of his belly. He has a big belly. And look at verse number 17 concerning Behemoth. As God said to Job, Job, take a moment and look at Behemoth. He was obviously there. He knew what Behemoth was. He said, take a moment and consider Behemoth. And look at verse number 17. He moveth his tail like a cedar. Like a cedar tree. The cedar tree is the most common tree mentioned in the Bible. Cedar trees are tall, wide, a strong evergreen tree. The wood is of such quality that a cedar is used even today in building homes. Back within the biblical setting, you would use cedar in building pillars and building main beams. In fact, cedar was used in building the Jewish temple there in the book of Ezra. A cedar tree could rise to the height of 70 feet. Cedars were known to grow as 40 feet round. They had strong roots and they had a long lifespan. And God said to Job, behold, look at Behemoth. He has a tail like a cedar tree. He has a big tail. And then look at verse number 18. He goes on and he describes Behemoth and tells us that Behemoth has very strong bones. Bones strong like iron and brass. Now look at verse number 19. He is the chief of the ways of God. He that made him can make his sword to approach unto him. Now this simply means he is the chief of the ways of God. God said to Job, Job, look at Behemoth. Behemoth, this is the largest land animal I've created. This is Behemoth. See? But yet, God said to Job, I can still destroy it. Even though this is the largest land animal I've made, I can still kill it. Look at verses 20 to 22. The Bible teaches us that this Behemoth loves the shade. Look at verse 22. The shady trees cover him with their shadow. So this Behemoth that has a tail like a cedar tree, has a big belly, has bones as strong as iron and brass, has strong loins, loves the shade. And also the Bible teaches us in verse number 23, behold, he drinketh up a river. Can you see that? Look at verse 23. And hasteth not. This Behemoth moves very slowly, drinks very slowly, moves very slow. It's not a fast-paced creature. But this Behemoth that God said to Job, look at Behemoth, he has the ability to drink up all the water contained within a river. What is this beast? That God said to Job, take a moment and look at Behemoth. Well, if you read your Bible commentaries, and normally they're very helpful, but sometimes you're better off just reading the Bible and not a Bible commentary.
If you were to look up a Bible commentary, a so-called expert, most of them would say this is a hippopotamus. Hippo. This is describing a hippo. But I find it hard to believe that a hippo has the ability to drink up water, all the water contained within a river. And to my knowledge, last time I was at the zoo, I'm not officially a friend of Taronga Zoo, but I like animals. And the last time I was at the zoo, I noticed that the hippo only had a small tail. Not a tail like a cedar tree. So I find it very difficult to believe that this is a hippo. Now some commentators will say, well, it's an elephant. Describing an elephant. Now elephants do have the potential, I've been told by the experts, to drink up to 200 litres of water a day. But that compared to a whole river, and the River Jordan, that's nothing. And once again, elephants, the last I looked at an elephant closely, do not have tails like a cedar tree. The description, very clearly here, in Job chapter 40, describes a kind of dinosaur that lived in Job's day. God was describing to him, behold, behemoth. This description fits beautifully, a dinosaur within the day of Job. Because the Bible teaches us that God created all the land animals on day number 6, did he not? And mankind. And God did say, this behemoth in verse 15, I made with thee. I made him on the same day I made you. And he said, Job, look at behemoth. The word dinosaur was coined only back in 1841 by a gentleman that wanted to somehow give a definition to these extra large land animals that lived in time past that were now extinct. So the term dinosaur has only been around for 170 years. And all over the world there is evidence that these large creatures really existed. Well, according to the Bible, they lived at the same time as mankind. Because God said to Job, Job, behold, behemoth. Now we move into chapter 41, please. Are you still with me? God mentions another creature by the name of Leviathan. Leviathan. Now the word Leviathan means a serpent or a large sea monster. So God said to Job, Job, take a look at behemoth over yonder. Consider behemoth. And obviously Job knew exactly what he was talking about. Because God did not say, imagine a behemoth. God said, behold behemoth. Look. Consider behemoth. And now we move into chapter 41. Fear not, I'll get to my punchline eventually. Alright, bear with me, okay? Go to chapter 41. And there is a mention of another creature that God created by the name of Leviathan. And chapter 41 in total describes this creature. For the sake of time, let me just briefly give you an overview of how God describes this creature called Leviathan. As I've said, the word means serpent or large sea monster. From verses 1 to 9, the Bible teaches us that this Leviathan cannot be possibly captured. People have tried, but you couldn't possibly capture this creature called Leviathan. That's the emphasis of verses 1 to 9. Look at verses 10 and 11, please. None is so fierce that dare stir him up. Or who then is able to stand before him? Verse 11, who hath prevented me that I should repay him? Some whatsoever is under the whole heaven is mine. And this teaches us, in essence, that this creature called Leviathan cannot be captured by man, and this creature called Leviathan is fearsome, and anybody that dares to provoke Leviathan will come off second best. You won't provoke Leviathan and get away with it. You might provoke your sibling and get away with it at home. You might provoke the family dog and get away with it. But if you mess around with Leviathan, you'll come off second best. Fearsome. And look at verses 13 and 14 as God continues to describe this Leviathan. Who can discover the face of his garment? Who can come to him with his double bridle? Who can possibly tame this creature? Look at verse 14. Who can open the doors of his face? His teeth are terrible round about. This Leviathan is fearsome. You wouldn't dare provoke it because it would have you for a meal. And this creature, when he smiles, he is full of terrible teeth. And then verses 15 to 17, the Bible teaches us that his scales are so closely intertwined that no air can possibly come between. Look at verse 18. The Bible teaches us when he sneezes, his eyes open up fully and light up. When he sneezes. Look at verse 19. Out of his mouth go burning lamps, and sparks of fire leap out. Look at verse 21, just in case you're not sure what that means. His breath kindleth coals, and a flame goeth out of his mouth. This Leviathan breathes fire. Now in verse number 20, the Bible also teaches us that out of his nostrils goeth smoke. I guess smoke and fire go together, don't they? As out of a seething pot or cauldron. So this Leviathan has smoke coming out of its nose and fire coming out of its mouth. It's absolutely fearsome. You wouldn't dare provoke it. Verse 22 teaches us it has a very strong neck. Obviously the neck is very obvious of this Leviathan. See it for yourself. This is what the Bible teaches. Its flesh is tough. Look at verse number 23. It cannot be penetrated. It has a strong heart. Look at verse 24. His heart is as firm as a stone. And look at verse 25. When he raiseth up himself, the mighty are afraid. By reason of breakings, they purify themselves. So people are absolutely petrified. Petrified concerning this Leviathan. And God said to Job, behold Behemoth. Now Job, let's consider Leviathan. And then verses 26 to 29, the Bible teaches us that no man-made weapon can penetrate its skin. In fact, at the end of verse 29 it reads, he laugheth at the shaking of a spear. Leviathan is absolutely amused by man trying to capture him or kill him. Just sees it as just a big joke. Then in verse number 30, the Bible teaches us this Leviathan has sharp fins or sharp stones under him that make an imprint on the sea's surface. And then in verses 31 and 32, the Bible teaches us that it swims so powerfully and so fast that it leaves behind a trail of whitish water. So this Leviathan is a very strong swimmer. It can swim very, very fast. Moves very, very quickly. And look at verse number 33. Upon earth there is not his like, who is made without fear. In other words, God said to Job, Job, consider Leviathan, even amongst all of my land animals, there is none that is feared more than Leviathan.
See? Beyond the lion. None. Mankind doesn't fear any creature on land more so than Leviathan. What is this creature? And then the chapter concludes in verse number 34, he beholdeth all high things. He is a king over all the children of pride. This Leviathan portrays pride and confidence. I can understand why. So God said to Job, Job, I want you to consider Behemoth. And then God said to Job, Job, I want you to consider Leviathan. Now what is the sea monster that God referred to here before Job? Once again, our Bible commentators tell us that it's possibly a crocodile. A crocodile. A crocodile that has fins on its belly. A crocodile that can breathe fire. I don't think so. I don't think so. The word Leviathan is found maybe 5 or 6 times in the Bible. In fact, the Bible defines us what is Leviathan. Take a moment and turn with me to the book of Isaiah, chapter 27. Isaiah, chapter 27. Are you still with me? I hope you are. I'm getting to my punchline. All right? Bear with me. Look at Isaiah chapter 27, verse number 1, please. In that day, Isaiah chapter 27, verse 1, in that day the Lord with his sore and great and strong sword shall punish Leviathan, the piercing serpent, even Leviathan, that crooked serpent. And he shall slay the what? The dragon that is in the sea. So Leviathan is a dragon. We know that dragons breathe fire. Dragons are mentioned in the Bible. They are called Leviathan. And God said to Job, consider the dragon. And we know that down through history, there is evidence of dragons existing. Dinosaurs and dragons in the Bible. Well, God created all the birds of the air and all the fish of the sea on day number 5. So Leviathan was created on day 5. On day 6, God created all the land animals and mankind on day 6. In the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. So God created these creatures. And God said to Job, Job, behold Behemoth. Job, behold Leviathan. Now what's the point here? If we go to chapter 42, please, verse number 1. Bear with me. I'm getting to my main point. Why is it that God, in appearing, in speaking to Job, has Job focusing upon all of his creation? And if you read from chapter 38, verse 1, all the way through, he climaxes with Behemoth and Leviathan. Why is God saying, Job, just think about my creation, think about my creation, think about what I've created? And he gives us countless examples, including the dinosaur and the dragon.
chapter 42, verse 1, then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that thou canst do everything. What was Job's response to this creation lecture that God gave him? Job just simply responded by saying, God, you are all powerful and you can do anything. If you can create Behemoth, if you can create Leviathan, and you tell me that you can destroy either single-handedly, God, you can do anything. You are the all-powerful God. And then the second part of verse number 2, Job said, God, you are not only all-powerful, you know everything. And as God pointed to his creation, and as he climaxed with the dinosaur and the dragon, Job in awe said, God, you are the all-powerful God. You are the all-knowing God. And in contrast to you, God, verse number 3, Job said, I don't know much at all. I really don't know anything compared to what you know, God, and what you can do. That's his confession in verse number 3. Can you see that? Look at it for me, please. This is very, very important. Therefore have I uttered that I understood not. I said things that I don't really understand. I've made statements that I don't really understand. So have we. Things too wonderful for me, which I knew not. God, you are all powerful. You are all knowing. But I, in contrast, am nothing. I know nothing. I really don't understand anything as you do. You are the one that created the dinosaur. You are the one that created dragons. You are God. You are all powerful. You know everything, but I know nothing. Really. I thought I knew something, but I really very, very little compared to God. And then before John says for me, what I more before to me, God, I do. No, you want to, but I want to know you. Look at verse number 5 once again. I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear. But now, note this little phrase, now mine eye seeth thee. Now what does that mean? Did Job literally see God manifest in his presence? No. What he was simply saying is that creation, I see you, God, in your creation. God, as I now focus upon Behemoth and as I now focus upon Leviathan, God, I know I can see you more so through your creation. I am mindful, but I have so much to learn, said Job before God. Note his response in verse number 6, please. Wherefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. So how does Job respond to this creation lesson? Well, first of all, he responds by saying, God, you are all powerful. You know everything. I know nothing. But God, I want to know you. And God, you are all powerful. But oh God, I am sinful. I'm a sinner. I abhor myself. In other words, he's saying, I am sinful. He, Job, as he listened to God describe these great creatures. He was mindful that God is so powerful and God is all-knowing, and compared to God, Job said, "Oh God, I'm sinful. I'm nothing. I'm nothing. I am sinful in light of your greatness, evident in your creation. And God, I need to know you, so therefore I repent of my attitude." Now this repentance here for Job, by the way, in verse 6, is not in relation to some sin. Because Job, the Bible teaches us, sinned not. The repentance here, listen to me very carefully, you still awake? Listen to me very carefully. His repentance here was in reference to his attitude. He had a wrong attitude. He was obsessed with defending himself before his friends who were accusing him of sin, and he was obsessed with just defending himself. But he came to the point and realized, I've had a wrong attitude. This suffering that I'm going through has a purpose. And the purpose is to know God and to know Him more intimately. And before a holy God, I'm sinful God, and I've had a wrong attitude, and I repent of that. And all this time that Job spent debating with his friends was time wasted that he could have spent with God and knowing God. Now listen to me very carefully. Job's suffering, the purpose for his suffering, was for Job to draw closer to his God, the Creator. That is the point. But Job was obsessed with defending himself. But God revealed to Job, "Job, I'm allowing you to go through these times of troubles. To what end? That you, Job, might be drawn closer to me and know me more intimately and know me more personally." And all of a sudden the light comes on. And Job sees that. So he cries out, "I abhor myself. I repent." All this time with his friends could have been spent, better spent, time with the Lord and knowing Him. See, my friend, God's creation reveals God. And the more we see God in creation should cause us to magnify Him and want to know Him more and realize that God is all-powerful God. He is the all-knowing God. He is the all-present God. And this is the God of the Bible. And this is the God I know by faith in Jesus Christ. And this is the God I am to know and to walk with day by day. And if God allows difficulty in your life and in my life, God has a purpose. God wants you and I to draw closer to Him. Not to draw away from Him, but to draw closer to Him. And God's reminder is His creation. That God is all powerful, and we don't know Him as we ought to know Him. So God's creation reveals the splendor and the power and the knowledge and the presence of God to drive you and I as God's people to pursue Him more so. A foundational application for all mankind is simply this. And my friend this morning, this applies to all, that God reveals His greatness in His creation. He is the all-powerful God who made Behemoth. Behemoth was not a hippopotamus. That's ridiculous. Just read your Bible. Leviathan, God made the dragon. Crocodiles don't breathe fire. And God said to Job, Job, look at my creation. And all of a sudden the light came on for Job and he realized, God, you are all powerful. You are all knowing. Oh, I need to know you. I don't really know you. And all of this testing that I've gone through, I can see now, God, confesses Job, it's for a purpose. It's that I might know you more intimately, that I might know you more personally. And for those of you this morning, listen to me very carefully. For those of you that are going through times of difficulty, God has a purpose. Oh, but Pastor, I don't know what that purpose is. I don't understand it. Listen, I can tell you what the purpose is. It's found in Job chapter 42, verses 1 to 6. God wants you to know Him more intimately and to rely upon Him more firmly. Yes! Job got the message. He had a wrong attitude. And most of us, as we go through our trials and our difficulties, we just simply want a way out. Lord, please show me the door. Come on! Show me the door! Where's the door, God? I want a way out of this predicament, this difficulty I'm going to. Come on, God! You've promised the open door. Where's the door? And God is quietly saying to you and I, there is no door at this time. But until I open that door, I want you to know me. I want you to draw closer to me. And if you begin to lose perspective, just look at my creation. Look at the heavenlies. Look at these stars and these planets that hang upon nothing. And yet we feeble man, it took us a whole day to hang some black plastic. It took us a whole day to mount these planets. It took more time to make these planets. And yet God spoke everything into existence in 6 days. And He hangs the earth upon nothing. Oh God, you are God. That's the message of Job. That God wants you to know Him more intimately. And my friend, this morning, before a holy God, the Bible teaches us that we are sinful. And we need to repent of our sin. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And it's by God's grace, my friend, this morning, you are here. The all-powerful God, the one that spoke the world into existence, can end your life in a moment. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And Job, as he considered God's greatness that revealed God, he said, I am sinful. And my friend, all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. But the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. But my friend, you need to repent or you will perish. You will perish in a place called hellfire. I'd like to invite you to receive Jesus Christ as your Savior this morning. And to receive His gift of everlasting life, because God's creation reveals there is a God. Oh, but Pastor, you might say, well, if God was to appear before me and say, here I am, I'm God, I would believe. Look, I doubt it. I doubt it. People have tried that trick before. In fact, they're still trying that trick today. See, it's by faith, my friend. It's by faith. And God says, hey, my voice pieces creation. And you are without excuse. I'd like to encourage you to repent of your sin and receive Jesus Christ as your Savior. And for those of us that are Christians, listen to me. Some of you are going through deep waters. Your problem is that you're just looking for that door. That door. You're saying, God, open the door. Come on. I've had enough of this. Where's the door?
And God's saying, no door at this time, my son. You get to know me a little bit more. And God did eventually provide a door of escape for Job, did he not? But it came after that point of where he realized that I'm going through all this trial and tribulation because, hey, my God wants me to know him. That's the charge for you and I from the book of Job. Let's be upstanding, please. Heads bowed, eyes closed. Thank you for listening.